Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you. We do thank you. We do lift your name up. We exalt you and we do glorify you. We praise you that you're doing a wonderful work. Lord God, in our lives, we thank you that you're doing a great work through us, enabling us to do the works of Jesus in our world. We thank you for it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you that, Lord God, that as we look into the Word of God, that we'll be granted a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may be able to see what it is that you desire for us to see, the truths that you want us to see, so that we may be able to walk in the way that you want us to walk and do the things that you desire us to do. And so we are able to give you the glory and the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you now, Father, for doing being here in our midst tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what you want to do in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of God. First of all, I want to just extend a special congratulations to all of you for being here. It's spring break, and so many of your fellow saints are on spring break, and they're out and about and gone and doing trips and doing other things. But I want to congratulate you because you're here in the house of God tonight. Glory to God. So I want to tell you, we believe that God has something good for you tonight. And so we encourage you to expect to hear from God tonight, not because I'm speaking, but because the Holy Spirit is here in this place tonight. Amen. And so we fully expect the Holy Spirit to work even on spring break. Amen. Isn't that right? Glory to God. So find your place in Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 11, and I'm reminded of the movie I saw many years ago called Smokey and the Bandit, and I remember Jerry Reed was driving that truck, and he said, we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, and so I'm just going to tell you tonight, we got a lot to cover and a short time to get there, so I just hope we get there, and I've got some good things for you tonight. I believe that you'll leave here equipped and different than what you came, because we expect God to speak to you in the midst of what we're saying tonight. So Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 11, I'm going to read that out of the New King James. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. In verse 6, so he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field, and then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for the dreams and for his words. And then verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And so he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and even your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so we see here that Joseph had two dreams, and it seems that nobody in his family appreciated it. Matter of fact, they hated him and rebuked him according to these scriptures. And so Joseph is actually a type of the believer in Christ who receives direction from God for his life. And that's the value of what we're talking about here tonight. I'm not advocating that you might have an actual dream when you're sleeping, but in the generic sense, I would say this, that everybody's got some kind of dream on the inside. Dream, or maybe even dreams, plural. things that God put in. You could even say it this way, that there are plans on the inside of you. There are desires on the inside of you. And so that's the value of looking at Joseph, is that you're seeing somebody who has the dreams of God on the inside of them. They have the, he has the plan of God. He may not understand it, but the plan is there. And of course, his brothers didn't like him at all for it. And his dad didn't understand it, so he rebuked him for it. And so it reminds me of how I grew up on the farm. And here's Joseph on the, you know, they're sheep herders and shepherds, you know, and taking care of flocks, you know. And so if nothing else happens, Joseph is destined to stay on the farm taking care of sheep. And I can tell you, I was destined to stay on the farm. If nothing happened, I'm destined to stay on the farm and fit in the box that had been carved out for me. And I want to tell you something, that man may have one idea, but God has his own ideas about you. And you got to learn as the value of where you're at right now. You're sitting here in a place where lots of things get birthed in the spirit, and things come rising up in your heart, and it causes people to move out into things that they never would have done otherwise. But God moved and spoke and said some things in their life. And so I remember as a kid growing up, and I always say it this way, they should have never let me see a Sears and Roebuck catalog. How many of you know what a Sears and Roebuck catalog? How many of you don't know what a Sears and Roebuck catalog is? That right there was a thick catalog. It was about this thick. Came in the mail, and it was about, you know, this wide and about this tall, 8.5 by 11 catalog, and it was about this thick. And it's full of everything that you could imagine. It had everything in it that I didn't have. And I remember sitting in the living room on the rocking chair. We had an old oak rocking chair, and I'd sit there and I'd get that catalog out and I'd start looking at things. I'd look at the guns and I'd look at the clothes and I'd look at the, you know, all the different things, you know. And I'd say, now, I'm going to get this. And I'd tell myself, now I'm going to get this pair of pants and I'm going to get this shirt to go with it because I look good. And so what was I doing? Dreaming. It was a dream book, a wish book. How many of you now, you go on the internet and you look at things that you don't have and you say, I'm going to get that. I'm going to get this. You look at the clothes on the online. You say, now I'm going to get this. And I'm going to get this. And I'm going to get these accessories right here. I'm going to put that with it. What are you doing? Dreaming, wishing. And something stirs up on the inside of you when you look at certain things. And so I remember also standing out there on the farm. I grew up with no cars and no vehicles like that. We did have tractors, but I'd look out, we were right beside on a farm right beside a county highway, and I watched the cars go by and I watched the trucks go by, and I fervently studied cars. I could tell you as they drove by what year it was, what brand it was, what model it was, what the standard equipment was, whether it had a 4-speed on the floor, whether it had an automatic transmission, whether it had a 3 on the column. You remember those? How many of you don't remember what a 3? What's a 3 on the column? You speak in code language there, brother. And you know, well, it was up here instead of the handle down here. It was up here on the side of the column. And you had it up here, closest to you was first gear, and then you pushed the clutch in and you brought it down, and it was in second gear, and then you, what did you do? Push the clutch in and you pushed it up into third. That was high gear. And then, but if you wanted to back up, and then you pushed it as far out and then down and backed up. But anyway, and then, you know, Chrysler had these little push button things. All you had to do is push it a little bit. You know, it had buttons you push. Way ahead of its time. Now they're thinking that just because they have buttons to push, you know, to put it in gear, you know. I see there's one recent model's come out that got buttons to push it in gear, and they think they got something new. Well, do you know what I'm saying? So I knew all that. And then I'd say, I'm going to have a car when I grow up. And I remember going to church in a horse and buggy. And I'm sitting there in that horse and buggy, moving slowly along. And I remember sitting there, and my mind is on something else. I see myself, get myself ready for church. I see myself walking outside the house, and I see myself getting into a 1964 Chevy Super Sport with a 327 engine. It's got high-rise manifolds. It's got a four-barrel carburetor. It's got the headers on it, you know, with the glass packs that go boom, 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 boom when you go down the road. It had silver or chrome Krager Super Sport mag wheels on. It had 14-inch tires on the back. It was metallic blue with a white leather interior and had a four-speed on the floor. I saw myself get in there, and I turned the key, and then boom, you know. How many of you remember those? And so then I'd pull back out, and I'd pull, get out on the road, and work my way through the gears, and go down the road, pull up into the church, boom, 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 boom. And so, you know, I had dreams growing up, but none of it looked like it was ever going to happen. I remember trying to talk to my dad about a couple of dreams I had about playing football and driver's ed and going to high school. And I remember my dad didn't know any better, and he rebuked me for it. Got mad about it. I asked him if I could go to a different church, and he got really mad because he didn't understand it. Today he wouldn't do that because he knows more. But, you know, he's just acting out of what he knew. That's like Joseph's dad, Jacob. He was acting out of what he knew. And so we have to recognize then that everybody's got dreams. You have your own story of things on the inside. Now, I found this out: the older you get, the less people are inclined to talk about what's on the inside. And the problem is that there are a lot of people that's got the dreams on the inside. Life has happened. Things have happened. The years have passed, and the music's still not played. The song is still not sung, and the dream has still not come to pass. And so they quietly wait in desperation until their time has passed, and they call it a bad job and hope God's merciful. I've met a lot of people like that. And I can tell you right now, though, that there is a way to look at some of these things, that I want to encourage you tonight that what you have on the inside can happen. It didn't look like it was going to happen for Joseph. Didn't look like it was going to happen for me. But it can still happen. Because I did get a 1964 Chevy Super Sport, and it had a 327 engine in it with a high-rise manifold, and it had a four-barrel carburetor, and it did have the headers on it with the glass packs that went boom, 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 boom down the road, and I did have Krager's Super Sport chrome mag wheels on it with 14-inch tires on the back. I did have that. It came to pass. And I want to tell you something. As I began to follow God, I began to follow God. That's the crucial thing that happened in my life. I began to follow God. And regardless of whether the dreams on the inside would ever happen, the things that I desired would ever happen. But I'm going to tell you something. In the midst of following God, God's been faithful, and he's caused a lot of those things to come to pass already for me. Hallelujah. And so, I don't know what your dream is tonight. I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know if you're young and eager and hoping life is all in front of you. There's people here tonight, you're under 20 years old, and I'm going to tell you something, you're in a good place. You're in a good place as far as age-wise and everything, because you've got lots of energy, and you've got lots of enthusiasm, and you're able to go out there, and you're just young, and you don't know that you can't do it. Glory to God. And then there's some of you that are here tonight, you're in your golden years, as some people would refer to it. And you're sitting here and you're still waiting for the dream to come to pass. And I want to tell you something tonight, that you can still stir yourself up and have the dream that God had for your life. The devil's been lying to some of you people, telling you that you can't have what God said you could have, and that you'll never have what's in your heart. But I beg to differ, that if you'll follow God, there'll be some things come to pass that you hadn't seen yet. So I want to give you this. Dreams are important. Very important. That's why we should hang on to them. That's why we should remember them. That's why we should relive them. That's why we should spend time thinking about it and talking about it to ourselves. Because they give you hope for the future and they strengthen you in hard times. Absolutely. Let me say it again. Dreams give you hope for the future and strengthen you in hard times. And so number one, I want to give you 10 truths that we can learn from Joseph's life to help us. So I'm going to give you 10 truths tonight. Number one, God can give you a dream for your future no matter what your age. Joseph was 17 or almost 17 when he had those dreams. Abraham at 100 or 90, 99 years old had a dream of having a son. Just want to tell you, most of us are fit in between there somewhere. And I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how what your age is, that God can give you a dream for your future. Don't think your future's over. Let me tell you something. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire for some of you. Some of you, it's time to not sit back and grow passive, but it's time to stir yourself up and become the person that God wanted you to be. Maybe you stood up and endeavored to do that and fell flat on your face, but I want to tell you something. God said this, that if you fall down, he'll pick you up. Glory to God. So don't think that your mistake was a fatal thing and a life sentence for you. Let me tell you this, that God is here ready to pick you up, and he's brushing you off, and he's telling you, go ahead and try it again. I said, go ahead and try it again.
Yes, sir.
I said, go ahead and try it again.
Yes.
So number two, let's look at this one. Number two, God's dream does not equal the American dream. It is far greater. How many of you know what the American dream is? It's having your own house. It's having a vehicle, a couple of vehicles parked in the garage, and having enough money to retire, good career, and having enough money to retire. You know what I'm saying? It's all about yourself. I'm going to tell you something. God's dream is much bigger than that. It's about you and others, and you affecting people around you, influencing people around you, reaching your world for Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you tonight that the American, don't settle for the American dream when you can have God's dream.
Amen.
I'm just here tonight to stir you up.
Amen.
I'm not here to comfort you too much tonight. Don't get excited about it. Sit back down. I'm here to stir you up of the possibilities that you could have in your life, the rest of the life that you have, that God can move mightily in your life. He can use you. Look at your neighbor and say, he can use you. Now, number three, we need to look at this one just a little bit. This is what Joseph did. Number three is, don't share your dream prematurely because others won't believe it. Joseph's brothers hated him for it. His dad rebuked him. Nobody believed it. What can this kid do? I mean, he's just a kid. I remember when Jesus appeared to me in a vision, told me to go preach the gospel, and I was excitedly sharing it, just like Joseph did. I did it unwisely, prematurely. And I remember talking to one guy about it, and he was one of these guys, kind of a self-appointed spiritual person in the church, you know, kind of thing. And he looked at me down his nose, and he said, Brother Marvin, he said, I don't believe that would happen to you. He said, after all, he said, if God would do that to anybody in this church, it would be me, meaning him. He said, besides that, you're not even married. Pardon me, but Jesus wasn't married either. And Paul wasn't married either. Come on now. And so anyway, I walked away from there with just my hopes shattered and had to pick myself off the floor, so to speak. I thought everybody's going to be happy because the Lord told me, appeared to me and told me to go preach the gospel. Yay! You know what the message was? Get back in your place, sit on the pew, and don't bother us. You know what I'm saying? Don't cause any trouble, son. And so let me tell you something. Listen to me. But thank God that God came to me and brought me up, helped me pick me up again, brushed me off, and helped me to go on. So don't share your dream prematurely. Others won't believe it. Number four, don't share your dream unwisely. It can bring criticism, ridicule is what I put up there on the slide, but I can add persecution to it. Because you can get Joseph's brothers hated him for the dream and for the words that he spoke. You know what I'm saying? And people can get really upset with you because you think you can do this or do that. You know what I'm saying? They can get really upset with you because they don't always understand about how God's working in your life. And so, you know, I found this out to be true, to share my dream carefully with those that believe in me. Amen. And so it not everybody appreciates your dream. Not everybody believes in your dream. And number five, a person with a dream may incur violent reactions from those who don't have a dream. That's what Joseph's brothers, he found himself being treated in a violent manner, meaning they threw him into a pit, and then they sold him into slavery and said, took his coat and killed a goat and put his coat in the blood and mingled it all up and tore it up a little bit and took it back to the father and said, look here, we found his coat. He must have been killed somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to recognize that some people not only don't appreciate your dream, they don't necessarily even believe it, but some people go a step further and says, we're going to make sure you don't have a dream. We're going to stop you. We're going to stop this nonsense in your life. You get back in your box. You sit right here where you're supposed to. You don't cause any trouble. And we know you. Isn't that right? Come on now. It's all right. I found this out that God is bigger than that. Amen. But I also found this out that I learned to share my dream wisely. Amen. Joseph, I can maintain to you, 17 years old. And let me tell you something. You can't fault him too much. He's 17 years old. And I can remember how many of you remember when you were 17 years old? How many of you would admit that you got a whole lot more sense now than you did when you were 17 years old? A little more sense of timing, a little wiser. Isn't that right? Yeah, I just caused some flashbacks on some of you guys. But you need to realize that God can help you. I'm just sharing with you some things that you can learn from Joseph. Number six, don't put your own interpretation on God's dream. Let me share something with you. I'm sure that Joseph did not understand what the dream was all about. And I'm sure that he thought at various times, just like you and I, when we have a dream or a desire or a plan in our heart, and we set out to do something, and you say, we got this figured out. We know what it's all about, and we fall flat on our face, or we counter setbacks, or life circumstances take us a whole different direction, just like did Joseph. And we think to ourselves, what in the world is going on here? Remember years ago, long before I came to work here at Rhema, I was pastoring a little church, and we had some early morning prayer going. And in early morning prayer, I had a vision all of a sudden of a multitude of people in a half circle, and just a big auditorium. And I just thought to myself, my goodness, this is going to be a great church. I got all excited because I thought God is really going to grow this church. God is really going to add to the church. We're going to have a good church, strong church, growing church. Going to be a big church. Glory to God. And it was just not too long after that that God spoke to my heart in a supernatural, very definite way, told us to leave that church and go start traveling in the traveling ministry. And I didn't tell anybody about that because I chalked that up to a bad job. Somehow I messed that up, and I didn't get that done like God wanted. And I just thought to myself, God, have mercy on me. When I come before you face to face, don't judge me too harshly on that one, but I'll take whatever blame for that. I just chalked it up as a bad job. Amen. And years later, I remember when the first time that I ever preached in this place, I stood at that pulpit right there, started preaching, and all of a sudden, it was like God opened my eyes and took me back to that vision. And I looked around and I saw a multitude of people in a half circle. The dream did come to pass. But you see, God was talking about something else. I thought he was talking about growing a church right there. And God's speaking something, showing me something way down the road. Isn't that something? So don't put your own interpretation on the dream that God gives you. Let God work that out. Let him bring you into it. And if it looks like you did a bad job on it and you just gave up on it and have to move on, just realize that God's not finished yet. Isn't that right? Number 7, focusing on God's dream helps you to keep the right attitude in hard times. Focusing on the dream can help you to keep a right attitude in hard times. Joseph was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He was made a slave at Potiphar's house. He was thrown into prison. He was forgotten by those that he helped. And so lots of difficult times. Yes. Yes. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, and he was 30 years old when he came in and interpreted the dream for the Pharaoh. And so there's 13 years of hard times. Difficult times. No dream in sight. No possibility of the dreams ever happening. No. It looked impossible to that Joseph would ever see his family again. So what in the world was that about? Where the dream of them bowing down to him when he's a slave in another country and he's never heard of his family again. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you this, that God can orchestrate things. You may be going through some hard times and some difficult times, but just understand something. It's not about what you're going through right now. It's about the dream coming to pass in your life. Let me speak to you right now that God, in the midst of the hard times, if you'll focus on the dream that God put on the inside of you, it'll strengthen you, it'll sustain you, it'll keep you on track towards that which God has spoken to you some time ago. Come on now. You'll be able to come through. You say, well, it just doesn't look like I'm going to make it. I just don't have what it takes. Let me tell you something. I can tell you something. I can confirm that. You don't have what it takes.
That's right.
But God can help you.
Amen.
It's a really good place for you to come to when you realize that you don't have what it takes. And you understand that only comes to pass if God helps you. That's a really good place to be. Because I say it this way, when I come to the end of me, that's when I can tap into him. Isn't that right? So, Number seven, focus on God's dream helps you keep the right attitude in hard times. Joseph remained faithful, dependable, and he let God raise him up. And that's exactly what will happen to you. Keep a right attitude, and God will help you even in the middle of the hard times. In the middle of the hard times, Joseph was shown favor. He had favor with those over him. Everything he touched was successful. Everything. He was a trusted man, even in hard times. And so you don't tell, just don't think that where you're at in hard times, difficult times, or whatever it may be that you're going through, that there's nothing good about where you're at. Let me tell you something. If you'll put your trust in God, there's going to be favor come forth even where you're at. There'll be success comes where you're at. God will bless what you set your hands to right where you are. And God will help raise you up. And the time is right. Amen. Number eight. God moves you toward the fulfillment of your dream while you don't realize it. Joseph was moved from the land of Canaan, thrown into a pit, taken out of the pit and sold to slave traders, taken to Egypt to another country, moved into Potiphar's house as a slave, and then moved into thrown into prison, falsely accused, and then left forgotten there by those who he helped. And it looked like he was anywhere but in God's plan. But I want to tell you something. Let me tell you what Joseph said to his brothers. When his brothers came to him finally and said, please don't be angry with us for what we did. And he said, you meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. He said that in that I was able to preserve life by where I'm at now. And you'll read it in Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter. It ends so well and so powerfully. The dream that Joseph had came to pass. And I can tell you this. You may be moving on in life, and you may be going over here, and you may be over here, and God's got you over here, and God's got you in this place and in that place. And it looks like to the natural mind that your path is not making any sense. But I want to tell you something. It's like Dr. Sumrall said. He said, God is a great sidewinder. He seldom moves you in a straight line. You understand what I mean? But God doesn't waste any experience that you might have. And what you chalk up and throw into the wastebasket is waste. Let me tell you something. God gets it back out of the waste can, smooths it out, so that I can use that. Amen? So don't give up just because it looks like you're moving in a different direction other than the dream that God's, away from the dream that God has spoken to you, because he's great at getting you there. Amen. He might not take you the same route you would go, but in the middle of it, you become the person that God wants you to be. And he's working on you all the time. Amen. Number nine, God's dream is not for the immediate. It is for your future. Understand this, that it's when God speaks the dream to your heart, it's not something that's seldom is it for right there. Isaiah said this. He said that God speaks the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet. He looks ahead into the future and he speaks of the things and the place and the things that he wants you to do and the places he wants you to go and the person he wants you to be. And then he comes back to where you're at and he starts taking you and leading you and guiding you towards that place and where those things are and where you'll be able to do those things. Just understand this. Listen to me. Just because you haven't seen your dream yet doesn't mean God's given up on you. And just because you've made some mistakes doesn't mean God's finished with you. Let me tell you something. God is working mightily in your life. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Let me tell you this. In order for God to do a great work through you, he first has to do a great work in you. And that sometimes takes lots of time. Takes more time. And you know what? You know, we sometimes think that it would just be, God, you just show it to me in the Word, I'll do it. How many of you remember those famous last words? You know, and how many of you had God lead you through certain experiences to help you to understand how important it is to do what the Word says? Isn't that right? And so sometimes we don't always follow as easily as what we'd like to think we do. But God doesn't give up on us. Amen. Number 10, God's dream points to a better time. Joseph's last years in Egypt, I believe it was 30 some years that he had there with Pharaoh. He was just so blessed. I mean, second in command. He could speak and do anything. The Pharaoh gave him rule over everything in the land of Egypt, save the throne. Said, you can't have the throne, but I'll give you everything else. Isn't that amazing? And so, you know, sometimes we think that that's almost a fairy tale. But God specializes in taking nobodies and making them somebodies. And he's taken somebody, people from a place called nowhere, and he's putting them in a place. He's putting them somewhere where they can minister for him and do something significant for him. I just want to tell you something. Don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out. As long as you're breathing, the dream's still possible. Years ago, I was in grade school, didn't understand much, but I read these words, and I've carried them with me all my life. Henry David Thoreau said this. He said, if you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now, put foundations under them. Let me tell you something. I've spent the rest of my life, the years that I'm living now, I'm living, putting the dreams, experiencing the dreams, putting them into action, and doing what God said. As the things unfold, I'm willing to step into it. Amen? I've still got dreams on the inside. I've still got things that I hadn't seen yet. But I understand there's a time coming. I said, there's a time coming. How many of you would say this? I have dreams on the inside that hadn't come to pass yet, but there is a time coming. I said, there is a time coming. Say it with me. There is a time coming. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. We wanted to share that with you tonight just to stir you up that God wants to work in your life. His eye is still on you. His hand is still outstretched to you. His power is still available to you. And his strength is still available for you in your life. Don't give up. His resources are available to you. They're just as close as the mention of his name. Glory to God. Reach out by faith and take hold of the dream again. And God will help you to experience that dream. As I was praying this afternoon, I felt like the Lord spoke to me tonight to just do something very, very quickly. And that is this. If you're here tonight and you got ear trouble, or you've got, and especially if you've got dizziness, if you're experiencing dizziness and ear trouble, then I want to pray for you tonight. The Lord spoke specifically to me this afternoon. If you'll come now, I want to pray for you right now. Just come. Just stand on the line. There may be more than one. But just come. We want to pray for you tonight. We believe that God is working mightily in your life. I don't know if you'll have both or if you have one or the other. I don't know how that is. But ushers, if you'll line them up, we want to pray for you. And we're going to believe God for God to minister to you and bring healing flowing in your life. And so we just want to encourage you with that. Okay? And so praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands up and worship the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just magnify his name. Hallelujah. You got something to sing? Just sing a little something. Just go ahead and worship the Lord while we're waiting for everybody to get here.
I believe you're my healer.
Yes, just go ahead and sing it. Just go ahead and sing it.
You are.
Yes. everybody here that's going to come? Because the anointing's here. Ear problems or dizziness? Or it may be, you may have both. We're going to believe God. We're going to pray for you. Oh, now, if you're in the line here, I want you to worship the Lord right now. Get your eyes on the Lord. I don't have anything to offer you except Jesus. So get your eyes on Jesus, because He's the one that can help you tonight. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Let's just take a moment and worship Him. Get our eyes on the Lord. Those of you in the congregation, go ahead and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, worship Him. Come on, there's flowing right now. Come on, worship Him. Come on, worship Him. Yes, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Get your eyes off of man. Get it focused on God. He is the one that will touch your life. One more time. There you go. Yes, there we are. Hallelujah. Now I want you to all look at me that are in this line. I have specific instructions, and that is this. First of all, I'm to tell you that Jesus loves you. He loved you so much that He tapped into this afternoon. He is mindful of you. He loves you. So I want you to do this. I saw this in the Spirit. I want you to take your hands, and I want you to just do this. Cross your arms right here, and I want you to begin to think about the love of Jesus and how Jesus loves you enough to mention your need to me in prayer this afternoon, and how He wants to heal you and flow in your life. Some of you are getting it right now. See, I, the Lord spoke to me, and He said, watch carefully, ushers, because the power of God's coming on some of them. They're receiving it even before I get there tonight. Some of you are receiving it right now. In Jesus' name. 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 There's flowing. It is flowing. It is flowing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There it's flowing. Healing in the name of Jesus. Now step back up here. Step it. Bring him back up here. It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There it is, flowing. Yep, there it is. There it is, flowing, flowing, flowing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, no more, no more. In the name of Jesus, healing's flowing. Here it is. Watch it flow. Watch it flow. Watch it flow. Name of Jesus.
Nothing is impossible.
believing. It's there. Worship the Lord. Just magnify Him. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Just worship Him. How many of you already can tell, already know that you're healed? How many of you can tell everything, what you came up here is gone? Lift your hand up if that's the case. There you go. There you go. I see some hands right there now. How many of you know it's working? You already see a change? It's happening? Already different? Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The Bible says some are healed immediately, some are healed within the hour, and some are healed as they went. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Bless these people as they go in the name of Jesus. Let your healing power flow in the name of Jesus. All right, one more thing. I don't understand this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that is this. If you're under the age of 20 years old, I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord and just dedicate yourself to the dream that God has given to you. If you're under 20 years old, I want to encourage you to lift your hands up to the Lord. And it's not too young. You're not too young. I'm telling you. You're in a great place. A great time of your life to pursue the dream of God. Now, I understand this. And listen to me. If you're older than 20 and you want to get in on it, I'm not telling you not to lift your hand, but I am telling those under 20 to lift their hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now for those that are watching online and those that are in this place that are 20 years and under. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the devil that would cause them to believe that they can't have a dream that are in their heart. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, I loose the power of God upon their lives right now to bring forth, guide them and direct them in the name of Jesus. Arrange things, put things in place. Ministering spirits, go and put things in place. Line things up, cause things to be arranged so that as they take step by step towards that which you have spoken to their heart, that which they need will be there at the time that they need it. And Father, I prophesy in the name of Jesus that they shall rise up into their destiny and into the fulfillment of their dreams in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. Give you praise for it. Father, you're a powerful God. You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. We praise you in this place. We bless you in this place. We magnify you in this place, Lord God. You're doing a mighty work. Glory! Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I'm going to tell you this, some pastoral advice. Those of you got dreams in your heart. Don't go running off just because you got a dream. But you stay faithful where you're at, doing what you're doing what God shows you to do. And let God raise you up. Don't go trying to make it happen. Let God raise you up. There'll be a time. I said the time is, remember we said the time is coming? There'll be a time. It's when God raises you up. In due season, that's when it'll be. in due season. It's when you're due, the dream, because you're now the person, you're now well able to handle it. You'll fulfill and walk in the blessings of God. You'll be able to walk, be a blessing to humanity and bring glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you thought it was over, but it's just beginning. Hallelujah. Some of you are just like me. You chalked it up as a bad job. But I'm telling you, God's bigger than that. He's still got plans for you. Glory to God. Well, we got some prayer people coming down, and they're going to be here. And the ladies will be on the left here, and on your left, and the men will be on your right. And if you're a man or a male, you can come and you need prayer, come see these guys right here. If you're a lady, come see these ladies right here. They'll be glad to pray with you, pray the prayer of faith with you. In the name of Jesus. And so we want to encourage you tonight. God is a good God. Amen. If you're here for the very first time, Connection team would like to take you to get that wonderful gift that's been prepared for you. And it's over out here in the West Lobby, I believe. And so let's give our first-time guests a great big hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're so glad that you're here. And on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, we say thank you for being here. And we hope you'll come back and experience more of the good things of God here at Rhema. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands, somebody, and let them know that say this to them. I believe my dream is coming to pass. And you're dismissed.